You've often heard me say that what we are building is like a three-story building. Well, it's got a foundation, a first story, second story, third story. The foundation is God's perfect love for us. I never get tired of saying that, because that is what brought my own life to security. That's what freed me from discouragement completely, brought faith into my heart that even if I had weaknesses and limitations and failures, I was still accepted by God, my Father. And that was 16 years after I was born again. So I know from my own experience that a lot of people who are born again do not have that security. Perhaps a lot of people sitting here. See, I was not sinning in those 16 years. It was just that I was insecure, and of course, my thought life, I failed, and my tongue was not under control. But those are the common sins that almost all believers commit. But I knew that was not God's perfect will for me. It wasn't God's will for me to let my thoughts be filthy. It wasn't God's will for me to let my tongue be controlled by the devil or my flesh. But I didn't know how. And I discovered from my life that the secret of victory was to be founded in the fact that God loved me exactly like He loved Jesus. And what He did for Jesus, He would do for me. That is the meaning of when it says, great is the mystery of godliness, that Christ came in our flesh. What does it mean? It means, like the Living Bible paraphrase of 1 Timothy 3:16, it's true that the way to live a godly life is not an easy matter, but the answer lies in Christ who came to earth as a man. Beautiful paraphrase, 1 Timothy 3:16. That the answer to live this godly life is in the fact that Christ came to earth as a man just like us and was tempted and overcame. And I'll tell you, when I saw that clearly, I found an example I could follow. But all the previous 16 years, I felt I could never follow Him. It's impossible. He may have been like that, but I never saw Him as a man. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't see Him as God. And we say that's a cult. Correct. False teaching. What about Christians who only see Him as God and don't see Him as a man? To me, that's another cult. And there are a lot of Christians like that. And those who don't see Him as God, don't worship Him. Those who don't see Him as a man, don't follow Him. I want to do both. I see Him as God and I see Him as man. So I worship Him and I follow Him. So that's very, very important. And then from that foundation comes a personal devotion to Jesus Christ, where Jesus becomes my friend, my bridegroom to whom I'm engaged. Think of a girl who is engaged to someone whom she loves very much and is looking forward to the day when she will get married to Him. That's how I feel about Jesus Christ. Every morning when I get up, that's how I feel. And that's become the foundation of my Christian life. It was not like that in the early days. That personal devotion to Christ, where He is everything, and where there is no complaint anymore, but I can praise and thank Him all the time. This is when it says, in everything give thanks and rejoice always. These are commands, if you're serious about obeying it, to always give thanks and praise to the Lord. See, there are many people who are seeking for the gift of speaking in unknown tongues. But unknown tongues is a way of praising God. And if you're not praising and thanking God in your mother tongue, English or Tamil or whatever is your language, why should God give you another tongue? You're not praising Him in the one tongue you have. In the one language you have, you're not praising God. You're complaining most of the time and grumbling. God says, you don't need. Then you say, how about all these other people who speak in tongues who are also grumbling and complaining? I tell you, 95% of it is fake. Just manufacture it, babble like some baby. Don't be deceived by it. I've heard it in a lot of Pentecostal churches. It is absolute garbage. It's an insult to stand before God and say all that. Genuine tongues is a language. And you know when a man is speaking a language or whether he's babbling. I praise God in unknown tongues. And it's a language. I don't babble to God. In like Paul said in the church, I would rather speak in a known language, but otherwise, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. So that comes if you're really longing and longing to praise God and you praise Him in whatever language you have and say, Lord, that's not enough. I want to really praise you from my heart. Then He'll give you the gift of tongues to speak to Him, not to show off to other people. If your aim is to say, I've joined the club. No. He'll give you an ability to praise Him in private. And you may never use it in public at all. I don't use it in public. But it's a very precious love language between me and my bridegroom. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the foundation of the Christian life. Let me tell you. On that we build a first story, which is our clear conscience, our walk with Jesus. We must always keep a clear conscience. I want to keep my conscience clear 24 hours a day. I may slip up accidentally, then I get up immediately. Just like you slip on the road. That doesn't mean you don't have victory. When you don't have victory, you're like a child who's falling. When a 9-month-old child falls, it gets up, falls, gets up, falls, gets up maybe 100 times a day. That's a picture of one who doesn't have victory. But when we have learned to walk, that's the picture of a person who's got victory. But that person who's learned to walk can still fall. You may trip on a stone and fall today, but you won't lie there. You'll get up. That's how it must be. I've learned to do that. As soon as I slip up, I mean, you don't lie on that ground for 5 seconds. You get up immediately. That's how we must walk. That is the first story. A clear conscience and gradually more and more victory over sin. Because a lot of people ask this question, why am I not getting victory over sin? Well, it comes gradually. It's like going from first standard, second standard, third standard, fourth standard, all the way to PhD. It takes years. Don't think that you can get the PhD in 1 year. And don't get discouraged if somebody is ahead of you. I mean, a younger brother is not as scared that his older brother is 3 standards ahead of him, or he's not ashamed of it. Yeah, he says, I'll also get there one day. So this is, and in order to come to this, there are only 2 conditions. Jesus said that in John 7:37 and 38. Thirst and faith. That means you have a great longing, thirst. You know how when your mouth is dry and you long for water, when you have that type of thirst for victory over sin, God will fill you with the Spirit and give you that victory. And the second is faith. Faith means you believe that God will give it to you. And you've heard my definition of faith. To believe that God is more interested in giving His promises to you than you are interested in receiving them. Very often, we think we are more eager to receive the promises of God than God is eager to give them to us. That is unbelief. I've heard people say, oh brother, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and prayed. God didn't give it to me. You'll never get it. I guarantee you won't get it in 100 years. Because you think you are more eager. God is not eager. That is unbelief. The day you come to the place where you say, God is so eager to give me this, but I'm not eager enough. Then you'll come to faith. But the more major complaint I've heard from people, brother, I've sought for it so much for so long. I've done everything. I've fasted and prayed. Still God hasn't given it to me. That language itself is the language of unbelief. I guarantee you'll never get victory over anything. You won't even get filled with the Holy Spirit. I know when God filled me with the Holy Spirit, I mean, He's done that many times, but I think of the times when I was so thirsty, but I said, I don't deserve it. I don't believe that, but I believe God's a good God and He will give to one who is undeserving the power of His Spirit. God gives us, if you think you can get something from God by fasting and praying or some other work that you do, it's the same mistake as other people think they can get forgiveness of sins by dipping in some river or burning a candle or going on some pilgrimage. It's the same type of mistake. If I do this, I'll get victory. No. Everything God gives is a gift. You cannot earn it. You cannot earn forgiveness of sins. You cannot earn heaven. You cannot earn victory over sin. But you have to thirst for it. And you must believe God is a good God and He will give me what I don't deserve. And He is more eager to give me than I am eager to receive. Please remember this definition of faith. God is more eager to give me than I am eager to receive. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him.